All right, folks, and welcome to another Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. I'm joined today by, just say your name.
Othman Boucherib.
Othman Boucherib.
Othello BT on Twitter. What's up, dude? Welcome to Othello's Basement.
We are in a literal basement.
Thanks for coming out here. I appreciate it. I know it's not your favorite thing to do.
No, thank you for having me. You are apparently going to the beach later today.
Yeah, yeah. After the show, I'm driving down to some place in Delaware because my boss has a beach house down there, and he invited me. So he's like, do you want to go to work this week, or you want to just come down to the beach and hang out? So,
is your boss at the beach house now?
Yeah, yeah. He was down there with his family, but the rest of his family is leaving today. So I'm coming up there to just drink and throw up in his bathroom.
Okay, but the boss is there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So it'll be a good time,
man.
That's
some weird shit.
Yeah, I do a lot of weird things.
No, it's cool. I'm trying to think of I've ever had bosses where I would like want to get shitty around them.
Well, he was the guy that I got shitty with before he was my boss.
Oh, that's very different then.
Yeah.
We'll get to that the second half of the episode.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's good to see you, man. It's been a while since we've been in my basement.
Well, yeah, you know me. I fucking hate my dirty equipment that I take everywhere that I feel makes for piss poor audio.
You think so? I don't think it sounds good right now, but I mean, that's just because I'm not listening to the actual podcast. I'm just listening to the
you're saying in your
the direct feed from
right
the mic. Yeah,
I think you're crackly as fuck, but that I think is just through the headphones. My little headphone boxes get it. Like I said, everything is like second, third hand with this home setup. But hell, I'll take what I can get to get you on air.
Thanks, buddy.
Take someone who doesn't actively fuck me on air. To record with me. You go to great lengths to not get fucked on air.
So I guess that's the theme of the episode today.
Not getting fucked on air. Yeah. See, I can repeat a dirty word too. Call it comedy.
Are you referring to anybody specifically?
Or? No. I'm speaking in generalities. I'm taking off these shit cans, by the way.
Okay.
I'll talk a lot better without them.
All right.
There we go. All right. Headphones off. We're raw dogging.
Maybe I'll do that too.
Yeah, we seem like our levels are coming in, man. Fuck it. I think we're safe.
All right, so...
There you go.
Do you want to... I mean, it's your show. You set it up however you'd like.
Well, it's a partnership with someone who doesn't fuck me on air.
Are you doing an F8 bit right now?
Oh, no, I'm not turning this one in, so okay. I don't have to F8 shit.
Okay,
this is just a dirty live episode not affiliated with Fairfax County's fine public access system.
So you haven't done an episode, what, in 3 weeks?
I believe 3 weeks, which is great because August 2017, the 10th anniversary of the show.
Oh, my God.
So that's how you build momentum behind a brand. You don't do shit.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
kind
you.
Of big.
Yeah.
How many episodes is that?
Oh, this is probably like the 540th or something in that range.
So 54 episodes a year. That's not bad, man.
Yeah, yeah. I've been cranking them out for a long time.
Wow. Well,
for better or worse,
it seems like you should be doing something kind of celebratory for the 10
I
year.
Wanted to.
Yeah.
I would have liked to. What? I would have liked a whole month dedicated to 10 years of putting this out surrounded by radio friends who got what anniversaries meant and really just celebrated radio in general with
maybe
me.
Pull a bunch of clips from classic episodes.
Would have been nice production, yeah. Right?
So why aren't you doing that? Why didn't that happen?
Well, I'm going to tie this into the current events of the day and age. I learned the hard way that Aryans ruin everything. Not talking about the Charlottesville Nazis. Talking about our friend Chris Lingbach.
Oh, okay, Blue Shorts, yeah.
Yeah, Blue Shorts.
Yeah, he was on the last episode that... No, I wasn't there for it. I was there for the one before the last episode. But, yeah, 3 weeks ago, I guess it was you, Shorts, Chris Lingbach, and Pete. And if for those who didn't hear the episode... Well, actually, it didn't even go up, did it? You didn't even put that episode up.
Oh, there's been multiple episodes that have not gone up at this point.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Multiples.
I'm gonna let you get into it because it sounds like you have a little script in your mind a bullet list of things that you want to kind of go through that I would love to respond to and help you.
I do have a little something written out. I lost the rest of this outline thanks to Macintosh and their great products. The note that should have backed up didn't.
I hate the note. Yeah.
So it's just down to the part where I bitch about Chris, because I did have some current event shit to wrap into that, but this will just be 45 minutes, I guess, of me explaining why the 10th anniversary of the show
is non-existent.
Got run over like that fat 32-year-old down in Charlottesville. Yeah. It's just
too soon.
Dead. Too soon. Too soon. I'm against the Nazis. I like how that's a brave political stand to make this day and age. You know what? The Nazis were wrong to run over a woman. That's how fucked our country is. Well, here are the Nazis out that ran over the women.
Well, it sounds like you've been thinking about this a lot. It's been weighing pretty heavily on your mind, and you've kind of got your thoughts gathered, and you're ready to kind of air it out and let everyone know why you've been silent for...
Well, I've been MIA.
Upwards of 21 days.
It's been a long time, dude. Perhaps the longest show break that I can think of.
That's such a bummer.
As much as I'm exaggerating to some extent for the air to get some enthusiasm out of this carcass I call a body, it's legit bullshit that what should have been, a 10th anniversary. You don't get many of those.
Yeah, yeah.
I've instead had to sit around, fucking try to book other people in the studio, see if I could salvage the episodes we did with one Chris Blue Shorts Lingbach to no avail. And, it's really just been dick up my ass.
So, sorry, what day was the anniversary?
I believe we just passed it.
Oh, no.
I believe it was early August.
I feel so bad.
I want to say I have a recording from August 22nd that in my mind was like the third episode. I don't think I recorded the first two. Humanity's poorer for it.
I feel like we should have party hats on or something.
I feel like we should be doing something.
Oh, God, I feel so bad for Papa's basement right now.
This is how fucked I got. This is how fucked I got.
Well, what do you mean? How did you get fucked? Like, what happened that kind of ruined the anniversary for you?
So, anyone who's been listening the last couple months knows that we've had our mutual friend Chris Blue Shorts Lingbach.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah. He's kind of been on, I want to say, every episode or
a lot of them.
80% of the episodes for the last, 3 months?
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Chris is a radio guy. He's a friend. He's still a friend, despite what I'm saying right now.
I used to do a terrestrial radio show with him.
You did, the CNO show.
The CNO is a clever name.
Now, I want to ask you, when you guys did a two-man show, did he think it was hilarious to do a bunch of prep and act like he was an autistic 5 seconds before the mics went live, and then as soon as they did, fuck you harder than Jeffrey Dahmer got fucked with that plunger handle by that prisoner that killed him?
Was it a plunger? I thought it was a broom. Yeah,
it might have been a broom. Yeah,
piece of wood.
I'm not too up on my serial killer rectal death.
No, he would do a lot more prep than I wanted to, because it was like a sports show. It had to be sports topic. He was convinced that our program director was listening when it was 11 p.m. on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. So we would often talk about topics that I had no interest in talking about, just because he thought that's what we...
You mean literally anything baseball related?
It's baseball, hockey. And all I wanted to do was guy talk, you know?
Guy talking Redskins.
Right.
The
occasional
Redskins. Yeah.
There were a couple times where he would just dive into a bit that I wasn't really aware of, that I would just have to kind of play along with. I mean, that's kind of his personality, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah,
he's
why?
Wacky and zany like that?
Yeah. You know, you've been doing shows with him for a while.
I have. His understanding of what constitutes a bit is rather liberal.
Now, are you referring to something specifically, or something that he has done over time that is kind of you've worn thin on?
Over time.
Okay.
Over time. It is something specific that he's brought out many a time on the show. Each time to less and less effect.
Well, why don't you start from the beginning? So he first reached out to you, I'm sure, and said, "Hey, man, I'm tired of not doing any shows other than my one sports show during the weekend. Can I get on in Papa's basement?" 3 months ago. You said, yeah. And for about a month or two, it was pretty
smooth
fun,
sailing.
Right?
Guy acted professional on air. We would do some prep. We would talk. All I ask for on the show, and you know what? I even if the show doesn't have the largest audience, they're pretty loyal to what I'm putting out.
Yeah.
They seem to respect that, not to suck my own dick like a horny yogi here, but I think we do a good show.
Yeah.
Now, shitty acquisition and shitty marketing, that's a whole different bag.
Right.
Like, a dude could have invented Coke, and if he's selling it out of his trunk like fucking mixtapes, it might not catch on.
It doesn't mean
it ain't Coke. It ain't delicious.
Right. Yes, I've often said that it's more important to know how to sell something than to have something to sell.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
I mean, Justin Bieber's famous, for fuck's sake.
No, but he's
not
because
he's Pavarotti.
Okay, so 2 months, and it's going pretty well.
It's going pretty well.
And then what happens?
Well, I think Chris gets it into his head that the show needs, I don't know if this is a wrestling term or not, I think it is, the show needs to start incorporating works.
Oh, okay.
Now, work, again, if we're doing wrestling talk, is where you bullshit. You pretend something is real, like the entirety of wrestling.
Stir up some drama.
Yeah, that is not real. Also, like the entirety of wrestling.
To get people more into the product, yeah.
Yeah.
Draw some emotion out of them. Yeah. Okay, so does he come to you and say, hey, man, I think we should do, like,
he mentions some fake
fights
passing,
or something? Okay.
He mentions in passing, like, here and there, that, you know what, we should try to stir up some radio drama, which, he's big on, like, he'll just call it characters, I guess, but I'll refer to it, if you're not winking at the audience at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of fakery to me. Like, it's one thing if you're presenting yourself as, like, Andy Kaufman. You're this brilliant anti-comedian. Like, I'm going to get on stage, and then I'm just going to, like, read fucking Hamlet. You know what I mean? Like, the entirety of Hamlet. And people are like, that's so great.
I've never understood Andy Kaufman.
Me neither.
Okay, all right.
You know who I fucking feel bad for? The assholes in that audience who spent their hard-earned dimes and watched some dipshit read a play for 4 hours so that they could be remembered 20 years from now as the dicks that saw that show where they got fucked.
Well, I've heard plenty of character work on different shows that everybody is really into. Like, for example, Jim Norton and all his different, you know, characters that he does.
Perfect example, yes, of a character done right.
Okay, all right, cool. So that he comes to you and says, hey, maybe we should do some...
We should try to spark a little drama. So there was one episode, I'm trying to see where this starts. So
how do you respond to that, by the way?
I'm not the biggest fan of it. I'm kind of willing to roll with a lot of things.
Maybe
I've been doing a lot of improv lately, so that's the yes and in me. But I'm like, fuck it. I've done 540 episodes of jawing into a mic. You want to make things a little crazy for one or two of them? Fuck it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Let's see what happens.
All right.
So he comes on, and I think the first time he did what I would call some sort of bit was when he's screaming shitty beans into the microphone repeatedly every 5 seconds on a show that was going to air on a clean broadcast network. He screamed shitty beans.
That wasn't pre-planned or anything. That was
him rolling with something.
Okay.
And you hit F8 in our recording program, was an Adobe Audition, to make note of, it makes a little line so you can see where you need to go back and edit something later. So I'm tapping F8 like
every time he cusses.
Like a prisoner, you know, trying to communicate via Morse with my cellmate. Like fucking just tap it. Like Jerry Lee Lewis on a piano, just mashing that fucker. Because he's dropping shitty beans every 2 seconds and acting honestly like he's goddamn Will Ferrell on stage the first time with it. Like, just pleased as punch. Which...
I remember listening to that. That was when he did, like, a bunch of Bill Burr impressions during the episode, right?
Which is pretty funny. Bill Burr.
You seem pretty, I mean, like you said, you were rolling with the punches. You were just down for whatever. It sounded like you were okay with what was going on.
It wasn't my favorite, but I also understand you can't sit there and pout like a bitch.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a great product.
Yeah, that's true.
So I rolled with it. And this is the first time where he kind of got mad that I, quote unquote, again, to use wrestling terms, broke fabe, broke kayfabe, which is the fake world wrestlers live in.
Wait, how did you break kayfabe?
So
that
I
episode?
Broke fabe because afterward, Chris very politely said, "Hey, I'm not going to leave you to edit that episode. I will take that to work and I will bleep every instance of shitty beans."
Oh,
out.
Okay.
Which is nice because in a move that agitates literally all of you, and it is what it is, maybe we can start having listening parties someday to get around this. I don't fucking listen to the show that I did
you
after
don't?
The fact. No, I hate looking at myself in a mirror. I don't like hearing my voice. I hate it too. Like,
but you have to listen to like hear what you need to correct. And
I do on occasion to hear the bad vocal patterns I have.
Yeah.
In terms of show structure, I don't know how much listening to an entire show
okay.
is going to help.
Okay.
Listening that first year or so to myself and hearing like every 5 seconds,
yeah,
like
yeah.
this fucking Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, you work on fixing that.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And you work on keeping your energy up. But in,
right. It's probably different 10 years later. When
10 years in, man. Yeah. I still have shitty vocal patterns and I still all this time later would like to be higher energy.
Right, right.
But, you know, what can I do? I work on it to some
yeah.
extent. I don't, you listen to 5 seconds of your voice, you're like, oh, I still sound like a cocksucker, and then you turn it off.
No, I understand that. Yeah, I can definitely see why it's not one of your favorite things to do. I mean, I think after 10 years, I would probably punch out of air-checking myself just because it's you can only take so much of listening to your own voice. And
yeah.
What's weird is that people – I find that it's a very common thing for people to hate the way they sound. On camera or in, you know, on a podcast or
absolutely.
Whatever. That's such a weird thing. I think it's because people think that in their minds that they sound differently than they actually do.
Well, yeah, because what you're picking up as your voice is actually what echoes through your
yeah.
skull and your ears and shit, and it's
right.
not the sound wave being processed completely through the
right, yeah,
to use
exactly.
a technical term, the top ear hole.
yeah.
It's vibrating into your head. Kind of like those new headphones they have that don't make sound, but you just like you jam like a 19-inch wire
yeah.
into your ear canal, and then it's like it vibrates and makes the sound. And you're like, this isn't terrifying.
All right, so Shitty Beans, you rolled with Shitty Beans.
Yeah, and he very kindly volunteered afterward. He's fucking throwing things at the wall right now that I'm openly saying he kindly offered to do all the bleeping so that the episode could be usable, and he thought it would be funnier if it was beeped every time.
Yeah.
So he went and beeped it because guess what? I wasn't going to.
And
I would have.
You breaking fabe was you...
Me mentioning on air sometimes
that he
was the one beeping it because he wanted to roll with this shtick that he had put me out.
Okay.
And I had been the one that had to sit around for hours, you know, with like Ben Franklin glasses on and a candlelight, like, oh, this cocksucker beeping it at 2 a.m.
Okay.
Before a deadline.
All right, all right.
Which, I mean, in my head, it's kind of funny, I guess. It's not...
It's not worth committing to and lying to the audience about.
I feel weird lying to the audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I might omit shit.
Right.
Like, I don't talk about every nasty fucking sex thing I've ever done and stuff like that. But if it comes up on air, I'd like it to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
It's just what I like to do. You know, other people do their own fucking show. You know?
I think that's the kind of essence of talk radio and podcasts in general is, you know, just... being honest. That the more honest you are, the more entertaining it is. And if your whole show is based around you know, scripted bits or trying to commit to things that aren't true at all, it just kind of takes
like Mr. Imus.
Yeah, it just kind of takes the fun out of it. So I understand why you wouldn't want
to. Yeah, and if you want to, I think there's like the whole, what, the Earwolf podcasts, which you and I don't know about because we're too old.
No.
But they do like entirely improv things, and that's fine too. Like, I understand that the guy who's the wacky Latvian janitor isn't really a wacky Latvian janitor.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
Fuck, I get that too.
Right.
I don't like it when you're like 98% honest and then you just lie about these little bits here and there. Like, you know, I love Don and Mike, but like, I know that like Don for a while was like smoking weed and doing blow and shit like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that stuff didn't come up on air so much.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
I believe he might've been pooning around as well. You know?
Oh, again, definitely.
Yeah. And let's be honest, probably Howard Stern too. Like they got divorced for a reason.
Right. Right.
And,
yeah.
again, Howard's entire shtick was like, I'm this faithful guy, and I just go home to a basement on Long Island. Yeah. And he's not. You know, at no some chance. Point, like, Angie Everhart's jerking him off in the K-Rock parking lot. But he's just like, that didn't happen. This yeah. is my shtick now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, we don't have that fucking far to fall from. This is a damn radio show that's on public access, and yeah. it's a podcast listen to a couple thousand people, you know, like, plus, I can be honest.
It's kind of like a cathartic thing for you to just come
yeah
on
exactly
and,
just
yeah,
talk about just shit
be yourself or whatever. Yeah, okay, so that starts messing with you a little bit.
I'm not the biggest fan of it. No.
Yeah, but you still went with it or whatever, or tried to, I guess.
I still rolled because I think Chris is talented when he wants to be.
Yeah,
like, he's talented in the way that I would enjoy talent, like a guy who is telling a real story about his life. Like,
yeah,
I'm not fucking saying he was the second coming, but he's good. Like, it's hard to find even good people that want to do this day in, day out with you. I mean, fuck, you're talented as shit. I can book you like once a month.
Oh, thanks yeah. for being dishonest with me. I appreciate it. But I like having Shorts on the show because he brings like a good energy, and he's always down for bits, and he tries to make things as funny as he can. But sometimes he can get trapped in his own mind when it comes to committing to bits. And I think that's part of what you dealt with is that Blue Shorts, who is so into bits that in his mind that ranks, you know, 1 through 5 top priorities.
Oh man.
And the show comes whatever.
He's so praying to the Roman god of bits. I don't, yeah. I think just talking, if two people talk really well,
yeah,
like an hour could have passed and you're like, whoa, that was incredible. That
yeah. Was... Yeah, you're right. So, okay,
I mean, you get laid in a bar rapping to a chick for an hour, not doing an hour of like, have you seen my dog? My dog, your fucking shitty bit isn't going to yeah. keep interest for an
yeah.
hour. But
yeah.
you can talk to someone. Yeah, you might get your dick wet later that night.
All right, so that was strike one.
Yeah.
Is the shitty beans. Strike. And then.
Shitty beans. You know what? I'll fucking even. Let's count that as, I don't know, I don't want to say a bulk. I'm trying to think of something that isn't a ball, isn't a strike. I don't think there is such a thing.
All right.
Let's just say he threw to first.
Okay. All right.
So he then the next week comes in, it's just me and him, and I'm not throwing anyone under the bus here, but he was, because a lot of my crew seems to, I run with a pack of alcoholics. He was getting shitty.
Shitty
in his
beans.
Car, like, he was getting shitty beans, putting down 4 Locos.
Okay.
In his Mitsu.
I'm trying to remember that day because I think that you weren't really 100% on board with doing a show that day, and he was like trying real hard to get you to go to the studio, and you were like, fine. You finally buckled, and then you were.
I like how that sounds. So yeah, that was it entirely.
I think that's what I think. I do remember that day, and it was just you and him, and he was kind of hammered when he got.
Well,
there.
He was which again, he's not a small girl.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he drinks a lot. So yeah, that came out wrong. Kind of, I don't know. He drinks, so him putting down a 4 Loco or so in the parking lot wasn't going to like drop him. Like an elephant
shot. Yeah, it wasn't
shot,
a huge deal. Right,
yeah,
right.
With a giant tranquilizer or something. But he wasn't all there, let's say.
Okay.
But he decided to come in studio and then was going to run with a bit again where he was like blackout drunk.
That was the news reporter who had a stroke on TV. That was that episode,
you,
right?
You remember that one well, yeah. I had forgotten that was an element. So he wants to, like 5 seconds before the show, he wants to roll with that. As a bit where like we play
well,
the news.
Well, a Barry.
Yeah, exactly. This
situation.
Fucking, and it's great. This is fucking thin blonde who like.
You've never
probably,
seen that before?
No, I hadn't. Okay. But it's fun to see a woman who's never encountered a single ill in her life because
oh, yeah.
she's a thin blonde. Like just everything melts away from her. Every positive, and she is naked.
She's a tsunami of reality.
Oh my god, she is the fucking fat little bee bitch from the Blind Melon video. You know, just like complete shame on a national stage. Just
so he shows up drunk. You guys hadn't done much show prep or had
I
you?
Always show up with a full outline.
Okay.
You know, I've always, except for today, where yeah. fucking, you know, teacher the dog ate my homework.
Okay.
But I swear to God I did it.
And then he wants to open with something that he...
And he, yeah, throws, he's just like, find this clip. And yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess we're rolling with this.
Okay.
All right. And yeah, that's fine. Again, it's a funny clip. I don't think it's the most original thing on earth to just play a fucking clip ad nauseum, but it worked.
Yeah.
Again, I've done 500-something of these damn episodes once in a while.
We'll try whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like being married for 10 years and you're like, hey, honey, can I piss on you? Like, if she's a sport, she should be like, whatever. You've seen two kids come out of this. Fuck it.
So you're the wife getting pissed on during this episode.
I am always the wife episode. Getting pissed on.
All right. Okay, so that was the first, 15 minutes as you guys playing that clip. And then I think what I remember was that I don't know if it was a bit or not. You can tell me, but he starts falling asleep.
Very bit. Very bit.
Again, in the middle of the show.
He's now punching out speakers like a karate man on PCP. Listen to this.
And I remember you trying to play along, but you also were ready to end it. You were like,
yeah.
All right, if he's not going to wake up here, I guess we're just going to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
at which point he still felt enough of a sense of responsibility to the show.
Yeah.
That he was like, what is that shit they do in Tinkerbell or at Peter Pan, the stage play where they have to like clap and Tinkerbell comes to life or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
That was my version of clapping for a very drunken, shaven headed Tinkerbell. And if I was like, well, I might have to end it. And suddenly he'd be like, whoa, wait, what? You know, just doing this yeah. Drunk shtick on air. Like, not even drunk shtick, though. It'd be like a guy who smokes 10 cigarettes being like, I smoke a pack a day. And you're like, oh, we're kind of there.
So I think what happened was you were like, all right, well, let's see if playing this clip gets you back to life. Mm-hmm. And you were just literally trying anything to roll with the bit, but also end the bit.
Trying to fill in 60 minutes at that point. I needed an episode to turn into the station.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, we got through it and I was just like, I'm not very happy about this. Like, Chris is a talented guy. Why the fuck is he doing this?
You don't need to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys could have just put on a regular entertaining show.
Yeah. Like, it's like George Clooney when he did the dog voice in South Park. You're like, you're fucking George Clooney.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we get it. You can do something weird that we don't expect of you, but yeah, fucking, you know. You're out of sight too with Jennifer Lopez as fat ass.
So did you guys, well, again, that was what, mostly a bit or
mostly a bit.
I mean, I watched, he played the bit pretty well.
It
looked like he was,
he played pretty well. You know, he is the fucking Brando of being drunk in a radio show. What can I say? He sold that shit.
So afterwards, I'm sure you guys talked about it and
a little bit. He peeled out. I think we shot the shit a little bit in the parking lot, and really I try to be diplomatic and I try to be like thankful to people who gave their time to me.
Yeah.
So I really didn't want to motherfuck. I had to kind of be like, yeah, that was all right. And he really thought he had
hit it
fucking. Oh yeah.
Out of the park.
Yeah. Know? All right. Grand slam that shit.
Why can't you just be, why were you trying to be honest with him at all? Like,
I mean, I probably wasn't running out and jumping up and down and laughing, thinking it was a success. Like, I would like to think anyone who has empathy and the ability to read facial expressions could see that I was just like, great episode. You know, like, and be like, oh, he wasn't feeling that so much. But maybe I presume.
Okay. All right, cool. And also, like you said, you were just grateful that you had an episode.
I was.
He gave you his time or whatever. All right, cool. So that's strike two.
Yeah. The number of strikes that tally up in this shit, like it might be cricket. I don't know. We go well past strike three and this guy's still at the plate. So
what happened after that?
So after that, what started to get to me was people were messaging me and emailing me and tweeting me and all sorts of shit. And the people that I met through the years who listen to the show that I actually like talk to now, they would text me.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people were like, was that a bit that he was that fucked up? And like, if not, what is his problem?
Yeah.
It wasn't a good show.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I don't think people, like, they enjoyed the clip part, but when someone is just drunk in a chair as my Robin quivers.
Just
like,
speaking off microphone into the,
yeah,
the wall.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Like thinking.
I think there was a lot of that.
Yeah, which it's a fucking audio medium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he really likes doing eye contact bits on radio. Like I don't fucking get it.
I think he does a lot of bits that are like, this is one thing that honestly I feel bad about that, because I was one of the few people who thoroughly enjoyed that episode.
Yeah.
But I think it's just because I know who he is.
You know him inside and out. If we were a known commodity,
yeah.
If we had been doing like 5 4-hour shows a week in the DC area,
yeah.
And he's down for some bittery now and then,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fine. But I put out a product that's one time a week, 1 hour.
Yeah.
If you just fuck the entire thing to shit, like, that could be someone's first episode. You
right.
know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As much as he thinks I don't do a damn thing to promote the show, I try to talk to people. I try to point them in the direction. I know how the human mind works. They're going to click link number one at the top.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
If they hear me trying to cajole what sounds like the fucking street bum out front to talk into the mic, they're going to be like, what the motherfuck did
this
guy put out there?
This is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did say, I think in my tweet to you guys, I took a screenshot of Chris, like, asleep and, like, very far away from the mic.
Yeah.
And just staring at him. And I said, this is why Ad Papa's Basement is so uptight about drinking in the studio.
Yes.
So, like, I understood your frustration. I was entertained by it, but I understood your frustration.
And that gets into a whole other thing that, like, I'm starting to question why literally 80 to 90% of the people I know are fucking raging alcoholics. Like, why multiple people I know are just drinking in the car before we record, like we're about to play the Meadowlands. I'm like, it's a fucking studio, a public access studio. It's not live. What is wrong with your brain circuitry? Why is this necessary?
I'm so glad I didn't crack open a beer before this show.
It's
so close
house.
To it.
I really wouldn't occur. And yeah, maybe I'm a fucking mental case when it comes to booze, but
I think it just helps like people loosen up sometimes. I don't know.
I suppose, yeah. Not everyone is a piece of shit like me who, like is their own boss and kind of does what they want in life. Like, yeah, I'm 36 and I'm back at home saving money. Who cares? I'm not getting laid. Who cares?
Okay, so you didn't really say anything to him after that because it wasn't a huge deal.
I didn't. I let Hitler take Poland.
Okay.
And then just went, you know what? Let's talk with this fellow. Maybe there's some reasoning with him.
Okay. So Shitty Beans, then the
Shitty
drunken
Beans,
character.
Then drunken bit. So where it truly hits the fan is me and Brian Bolte.
Mm-hmm.
He does the football show with me whenever the hell we do that. He's been on the main show sometimes.
Yeah.
Truly one of the nicest people I've met.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
really
not a
dude.
Bad bone in his body, fucking lives to pick up tabs. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, does he?
Oh, God,
I
didn't
know that.
Like, you have to fight to put money in his hand.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You should have hung out more.
Oh, no. Brian is the tits. Like,
yeah,
legit
he's a nice guy.
Sweetie. I needed to get a show done, so I pack up the travel gear, which, as people listening right now know, and Oathman can testify to, I'm not the biggest fan of doing this outside of a studio. Just, I don't think the gear is as good. I don't think the sound's as good.
It's a pain in the ass,
yeah,
too.
And not to sound like eight guys fucking nine guys, there's a certain magic to the studio.
Yeah.
Like, people focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm like, the hell with it. I'm going to do a show with Chris and Brian at Chris's house. Brian, ever the good guest, shows up with a bunch of Four Locos for Chris,
nice.
Knowing that's his poison. Chris had beat him to the punch and already put down some Four Locos of his own. And it was like stepping into the set of Saw where Jigsaw has laid all these traps for you,
oh
except it's like bit traps.
Okay. Like what? Give an example.
So he walks in, or we walk in, and he just starts going on and on about all the breakfast meat.
This is
he's cooked
before you guys recorded?
Like, this is before we recorded.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's just waving around this giant plate of bacon and Scrapple.
Okay.
Now
he's always trying to get people in on Scrapple.
I've eaten Scrapple before. Yeah, it's it's kind of like a lean sausage, which like fucking defeats the purpose of sausage.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's a good point.
And I guess he knows, he's eaten with me enough where he knows, like, outside of seafood, I don't do a lot of meat. Like, if you're like, I ordered a pizza, it's pepperoni, I'm like, well, fuck, that it sailed for that pig. You know what I mean? Like, shit, I can't unfuck this one.
I didn't even know that about you, so
I'm not the biggest on meat. Like, I don't really do a T-bone.
All right.
But if it's there, if you're like, I'm going to take this T-bone steak, and it's either going in your fat fuck face or the trash can, I'm like, well.
You'll take one for the team.
Yeah. Fuck, man. The cow would have died for that much veiner, you know, cause like that much worse if I don't do something with this. So, yeah, that's how I commemorate things. I eat them and shit them out like 4 hours later.
So he greets you guys with a big plate of meat.
Yeah, big plate of meat, and then starts rambling on about a beef stew he's made.
Okay.
He's got just a giant crock pot of beef stew. And again, I'm like trying to be a good guest. So even though I don't really care for fucking beef and that sort of stuff, I take a plate and put a bowl of this beef stew that he won't shut the fuck up about on it and like garnish it with little scrapple cracker looking shapes, you know, just these little scrapple squares all around it. And then he's really like drunkenly and intently staring at me, and I'm like shoveling it in my mouth like, yay.
Wait, he was drunk during this?
It was Sunday, man. Okay. Like I don't think we're letting any state secrets out here.
You got to be kind of hammered to make scrapple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not all just right. That, like at 5 p.m. to just be like rambling on about a beef stew that's been crock potting, like over and just like, oh, it's just falling apart, man.
All right. Okay, cool.
So I walk in and I want to just get a show recorded because there's things I want to do later that night.
Yeah.
And instead is fucking Chris Lingbach's beef hour.
So you guys are trying to get it started and he won't stop talking about beef stew and just kind of delaying the process.
Oh, just living it up. He's fucking Guy Fieri over here, like just beefing.
Okay.
Just beef. All right. Fucking here's your bacon. So we're both sitting there like, all right, this is weird, but as long as things work out,
it'll be fine. Whatever. It'll be worth it. Yeah.
And I say something that he will continue to throw in my face to this very day, where in a diplomatic solution to what he did with his drunk character on air, I say, hey, why don't you try some other characters on air today?
Oh, okay.
Implying I wasn't the biggest fan of your last bit.
Yeah.
If I were, again, someone with human sensibilities and emotions would be like, oh, if he liked it, he would have said that thing you did, do it again.
Right.
This isn't like Elvis laying his first track where they're like, that is magic. And like, I'm like, fucking, let's
try something else.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't working so well for you. Justin Bieber, you can't sing as a kid now.
Wait, was that what he was referring to on Twitter when he said that you guys were talking shit about him on his couch?
That this is the incident. So this is the first episode that I make where 20 minutes in, he just up and goes to the bathroom. Let me set the scene. So all of us have these big Asian bowls
of beef stew.
Yeah. Like big pho
and
bowls.
And scrapple.
Of beef stew on plates of scrapple and bacon. And Chris is just merrily churning through the Four Locos that Brian got him.
Right.
And Brian and I are kind of looking at each other like, this is a little weird, but fuck it. Like, this could be funny. Like, if someone rises from that and then is like a consummate professional, but they're surrounded by bowls of beef stew.
Yeah.
And they're chugging Four Locos. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's like Mickey Mantle being fucking hungover as blazes. And then knocking the goddamn skin off of the ball. You're like, that's our fuck up. That works, Mickey. But when Mickey Mantle's hung over and then just like pukes on the catcher and they have to
just
fucking pitch hit for him, you're like, oh, he's a piece of shit.
He should do another character next time.
Exactly. Exactly. He shouldn't do his drunk Mickey character so much. Right. He's so committed to the bit, he actually got a liver transplant later in life.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you guys start recording 20 minutes in.
We start recording.
How did the first 20 minutes go?
Horribly.
Okay.
We start recording, and he thinks it's a bit to suddenly clam up. And this is where I start really losing patience with the guy. He thinks it's a bit where Oathman, talk to me right now.
Hey, what's up, man? Are you gonna call that lady back who wants you to unlock her front door? Probably got big boobs. Do you usually give discounts when you're showing up an hour and a half late?
Yeah.
Like, how much do you usually take off the total?
Yeah.
All right.
That is what I'm getting out of the guy.
Okay.
Like, fucking suddenly the serial killer button has been pushed on him.
Yeah.
And he can't be bothered to talk on a fucking radio show.
Just monosyllabic responses.
Monosyllabic bullshit, thinking it's a character to tank.
He's doing this to both you and Brian?
Doing it to me and Brian. Like, and I've invited Brian in. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm embarrassed because Brian, he hasn't worked with us. He doesn't know any better. To him, Chris is like a normal radio professional.
Yeah.
A guy who's worked at WJFK for like almost a decade now.
Yeah. That's a good point.
He's really hard for the fact that like he's recording with two guys he genuinely respects.
Right.
And instead, this is happening to him. He's just got a plate of fucking Scrapple for his troubles. He's down the cost of four Locos. And
is Brian looking at you like, what the hell? Or is he trying to sell? Because I imagine the way you're processing it is totally different from the way he was. Like, you'd seen this bit before.
We're like a couple that's ball gagged in our bedroom while the thieves are ransacking the place. And like, we're trying to communicate with our eyes. Like, what the fuck do we do? How do we get out of this situation?
That's hilarious. Okay, cool. So he goes up, he gets up, goes
20 minutes in. Yeah. He just,
after the yeah bit,
after doing his yeah bit, he just gets up and leaves, like goes to the bathroom for, not exaggerating, 6-7 minutes.
Oh my God.
So about 2 minutes after I paused it, Bolte is just like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, you guys didn't keep recording. You stopped.
We talked for a bit.
Yeah.
And the bathroom break was so long, after a while, I was like, all right, I'm going to wait for him to get back. Like, did he Elvis? You know, did he die of that shitter? And Bolte's like, is this a bit? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't care if it's a bit or not. It's just shitty and rude.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you're enduring this. You came in, like, fucking prepared to have a fun time. You know, the fun Four Loko show.
And instead, you've got a wife and a kid.
Yeah, it's just red meat and autism. So he comes back out eventually.
But is that like the worst of what you guys said? Just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is he doing? Like, because I'm trying to understand what he was talking about in his tweet to you the other day where he said you guys were talking shit about him on his couch.
Oh, more of a bit, I can only assume. Or he's genuinely insane.
Okay. All right.
Because, like, fuck it, I'll dial up Brian anytime.
Yeah.
And we can, because if he wants a bit where there's conflict and, like, we're beefing, this will be a multi-episode quote-unquote bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just me fucking venting about what I've had to endure the last couple of months. And, again, appreciative that a man came out and helped with this stuff.
Yeah.
The way it's ended has really got me pissed. So.
It's ended. Well, we'll get to that, but.
Yeah. So Brian and I are just looking at each other like, what the motherfuck?
Yeah.
He eventually comes back out and I don't think even like starts getting back on mic. Like, he thinks it's a bit where I just have to explain what Chris Blue Shorts Lingbach is doing.
Okay.
Like, me narrating him walking around and being non-communicative
in the middle of the show,
that is going to make for great radio.
Oh my! So he's just walking around.
I'm purposely
avoiding the show.
As I recall, yes.
Okay.
This is one of those places he could have also just kind of sat down after a bit of milling, and I'm exaggerating that, and I honestly don't remember the difference.
Yeah.
I'm not saying any big lies here. He didn't come in like bathed in the blood of a baby, like that he murdered in the shitter. Like, he just either flitted about for a bit or kind of just sat down and was still really shitty. But it was to the point where Brian, the sweetest guy on earth, and me, fairly passive. I kind of take it on the chin a lot on air because I'm like, this might be something good. just because it isn't my taste doesn't mean someone's not laughing at
right,
this.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I'm not doing a fucking show to entertain Chris Lingbach on the playback.
Right, yeah, that's not...
So about 10 minutes in, I'm just kind of like, all right, dude, I don't know what's up, but this isn't a usable show, and I'm just killing the recording.
Oh, you stopped the show?
I stopped the show probably okay. 25 minutes in.
Okay.
He then,
as he's walking around or whatever it is he's doing.
As he's milling around, I think he might be seated at this point.
Okay, all right.
He's trying to act bewildered, like, what did I do? You know, yeah, and I'm yeah, just yeah. like, that's fun. That's cool. So I start packing up, and this is what he mentioned in the tweet, where Brian and I were quote-unquote talking shit about him
okay.
as he slept.
He fell asleep as you're packing up?
No. Oh, okay. He fucking, like...
Sorry, I'll stop interrupting
you. He just jumps on his couch and then just shuts his eyes while, like, lying perfectly still, not snoring or anything. And I'm just like, does this psychopath think that I think he's asleep and he's like this fly on the wall now? Like, it was so bizarre, dude. I don't.
So what did you guys say to that?
We really said very little other than talking about what we were going to do after that. Like,
Well,
this is over. Did you want to like go hang out at the LA Bar and Grill and have a few there?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry this happened, etc.
Oh,
like,
God,
there was no shit. There wasn't much shit talking of him even outside. I was just like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him. And Brian was just like, yeah, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, I really don't know. He might think this is funny.
Plus, you guys didn't actually believe that he was asleep, so why would you?
Oh my God, like, I think I might have said this before, but it's like a parent telling their kid Santa won't come until you're asleep, little Susie.
Yeah.
And little Susie just fucking sits there and goes like 3 seconds later, you're like, you dumb cunt, I'm not buying it. Like, that's what Chris was giving me. And again, thinking he's the Brando of alcoholism, he's like, oh, I'm selling this. I'm just dead asleep.
So you guys, I imagine there's an awkward goodbye that you had before you left his place.
Well, there's like, no goodbye because he's pretending to be asleep.
Oh, okay. All right. He's that
just
committed.
Lying there.
Okay. All right.
And I'm like, do I have to pretend along?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's a kid serving tea to their invisible bunny friend. You're like, oh, do I have to ask Mr. Whiskers if he wants to go to dinner? It's so fucking
weird.
I
love how you keep bringing up, like, your comparisons are that of a 9-year-old girl.
That's all I can think of. Like, it's pretend land with this guy.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing anchored in reality.
All right. Okay. So you guys go to LA Bar.
That, and I'm totally into 9-year-old girls.
You don't talk much shit about him, but it is a unusable episode.
Unusable.
Yeah.
Does
that live
usable.
Somewhere on your computer?
Oh yeah.
I would love to hear that.
Oh,
I'd love
that.
To get a copy of that.
I can get you that.
Yeah. All right, so that's strike 15.
Yeah, that's strike 15. Again, we're playing rugby, but with strikes. I don't fucking know.
And then, so is this before or after? Like, because his coworker Tom Daly started being a feature or guest on your guys' show.
Yes. So
was
Tom,
this before he was on?
This
the
is
show?
Before okay. the Tom stuff. So
okay,
Tom
cool.
comes in, and I like Tom. Tom seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
And yeah, I thought he was very good on air. Like, yeah. He did 2 episodes with us. I thought his first one was really strong. The second one, we went down like a 45-minute rabbit hole of summarizing like the entire career of Opie and Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I was like, we're a radio show, for fuck's sake. Like, at least we're talking radio.
The Facebook bit was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. The Facebook bit was good. That was a prep bit he did, and he brought it in, and he was like, I want to talk about this. I have a bit for the show.
Yeah.
And you know what? He prepped it. He fucking didn't think it was a bit to have me play the clip and then not acknowledge it.
Yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
actually interacted with us.
Right.
And that made for a radio show. Fucking fanciful, I know. I'll slow down if you can't keep
no,
up
no,
with that. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you're going to bring up what I want to bring up regarding one of those episodes. And it might be one of the strikes that is on your list.
Oh, is it involving Tom?
No, well, it's a show that he was on, but it's something that Chris.
Oh, you bring
did.
It up then. I don't want to let you down.
No, just the Jewish thing, like the Jewish.
Oh,
that he,
I'd
that
almost
he was
forgotten this. So
super
yes.
pissed off about. I was wondering if that was one of the things that registered as.
That was a true annoyance.
Yeah.
That was truly pissing me off. So I want to say what the next to the last episode we've done so far, or a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
I bring up that my mom took some ancestry tests and found out she's like 6% Jew.
Right.
So
right.
I guess on her side, I'm 3% Jew. We had done a bunch of prep before the show. And by that, I mean like we jawed for 15 fucking minutes in the kitchen. And I was like, well, I have this, this, and this topic wise. And Tom's like, I have this, this, and this. And Pete's like, I'm going to go and drink and smoke in the parking lot. And then Chris might have had something himself. I don't remember.
All right.
Right before the show, I'm like, oh, that'd be funny if I worked in the Jewish thing by playing Jewish music. Like, any excuse to play a different intro song, I find kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I played some sort of, like, Jewish, whatever Jew hymns are called. I don't fucking know. I'm not a real Jew.
I have no idea.
Yeah. So I'm playing one of those, and I start going on about, like, yeah, I've discovered my Jewishness. Which, to a very wee extent, I have. I mean, I went through life just thinking I was, like, Greek and shit and hurt.
I thought it was a fine bit. I thought it was
a funny fucking throwaway bit.
Yeah.
And like Tom and Chris were reacting like I was fucking dropping heat on the American flag and then wiping with it afterward.
Yeah,
it was not
received very well. And my read was that I know how much Shorts worries about his job.
That's all I could come up with, that he just didn't want Dan Steinberg pissed or something.
He didn't
want
to come off like anti-Semitic or whatever.
There's nothing
mocking...
anti-Semitic about it.
I know.
Found out I'm Jewish. Very small. But...
Honestly, like, I mean, if we're keeping up with wrestling jargon, he no-sold.
Wrestling analogies and little girl analogies.
He no-sold the bit so hard that it just made it so awkward and made you look pretty bad. And I was like, damn, this is Papa's. I mean, really, what it comes down to is it's your show. And... I mean, they could at least try to play along with the bit, or
which was a fucking throwaway.
It wasn't like you were
bit.
Playing like audio of dogs being tortured in Beijing or something
exactly.
like that. You know,
yeah.
like you were doing something that made sense, and it was something that could have led into the actual discussion of your mom, you know, doing the ancestry thing.
Yeah, legit just ask, why are you playing Jewish music? Why are you saying you're Jewish? Ta-da, end a bit. And then
yeah.
I just say, my mom took an ancestry test. I also learned I'm 2% Chinaman. You know, like, fuck.
Yeah. The way I saw that, I was like, if I had a show that I was doing for 10 years and I had two dudes, you know, come on, who, are, you know, I've invited on who...
Yeah.
And then they're just going to shit all over this thing that I think is a genuinely fine topic to bring up. Like, I would be livid. But you handled it better than I would have probably.
I tried to roll with it. It was just a weird... I was very shocked by what seemed like the genuine hate. And again, he could have been doing a bit. This is maybe the one bit he sold. Because to this day, he will throw that stupid thing in my face.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
The Jewish bit? Okay.
Oh, God, yeah. A fucking 10-minute bit on one episode.
But another takeaway from that episode was that he was mad at you for doing a bit that he wasn't privy to before the mics were on.
Yeah, funny how we get angry about the things that we do.
And
right?
I was wondering if that was something that like registered with him or you, because
I mean, if he's doing next level shit and that was his way of acknowledging that it's shitty,
yeah,
to do something unprepared,
okay.
That would be fine. But yeah. I don't think it was. Like, I think it's genuine, completely being blind.
Right.
To irony.
Right. Yeah. Which, that would piss me off. But, I mean, the shows were, besides that, I mean, both those shows were pretty entertaining, I'd say. Not enough of an annoyance to get you to not want to do the shows with him anymore.
Look, this will sound like me trying to explain away a fairly shitty relationship, but... when he wants to be good on air and participate in a way that the average person would acknowledge this is how you participate on a radio show, he's good.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying he's a singular talent, but he's fucking good. Like,
yeah.
And we have fun. Like, he's a friend, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely.
There's the episode where it's you, me, him, and Pete. That was a fucking blast. Like, you two shitting on each other, that's funny.
Oh, yeah.
You going after him, that's hilarious.
the Periscope where we're yelling at each other about whether or not we should stay and wait for the power to come on in
yes!
the studio. Yeah,
that is funny to me. That is some of the only, like, really, like, heavy conflict stuff that's still funny to me. Because yeah. I think you know exactly when to kind of pull your punches. You're not going for blood, whereas he can get weird with shit, I guess. I don't know.
Apparently.
Yeah. So we then have a live show. We've been doing a lot of live shows lately. Think about like the respect and the adoration you get every time you do your live broadcasts, and then do the inverse of that. And that's what my live show experiences are like.
Dude, I knew that live show was a terrible idea the second you told me about it. I was like, this is going to... What kind of... First of all, college kids are not going to be into a random podcast that they've
never heard of. So, yeah, I got an invite from a friend who I guess was a recent college grad, but he's like really tall, so I can't process that he's young.
Okay.
Like, if you're that much taller than me, I'm like, he's clearly a man like of 40. Authority. Yeah, like 48. And he had just graduated, I guess, and was turning over a rehearsal space. In essence, just a basement in someone's like rented college townhouse or whatever the fuck, where people would go and I guess do like drama stuff and I guess the occasional stand up and improv and that kind of
shit. Was there like a stage?
No. Why would there be a stage for people to perform? Don't be stupid.
Oh my God.
So he's just like, do you want to do a live Papa's Basement
in this basement.
Actual basement?
Sorry. And I totally stole that punchline from you.
And I'm like, hey, they're college kids. Maybe there's going to be some... I immediately think that we're going to be doing a show in like some sort of animal house environment. I'm maybe there'll be some drunk girls who want a periscope blowing me, you know, like fun things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, sure. What the fuck? There's no bad publicity. Maybe I'll go viral with these eight college kids.
Yeah.
And I'll hand them each a sticker to put on their binders. You know, I don't know.
Yes. Anding the situation.
I'm yes. Anding life in general. Yeah. I'm like that Always Sunny episode where they're just like, yes. And
But that's a good way to go about, you know, life and doing things.
What the fuck is the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll tell you in a second what the worst that can happen is. So
wait, is there, I'm trying to picture the basement of a townhouse. I'm picturing like.
Picture this and you're pretty fucking close.
Is there a place for the quote unquote audience to sit or stand or.
There's some couches and some chairs.
Oh my God, dude.
Picture we're against that wall. And they're sitting there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these fucking 21-year-olds are being subjected to my old-ass 36 gray thinning up front.
Your
Don
and Mike references.
Oh, God, exactly. Yeah. Fucking busting out a great Diana Sillman, Sherry Elliker double pack.
Your MASH callbacks.
Exactly. Fucking talking Klinger. You know, yeah.
Plus, like, when it's a situation like that where they're just staring at you like, all right, say something funny, like, make us laugh. It's like, oh, God, that's not
I'm
what the show is.
I'm starting to realize it's very, very difficult to do a pod live that is anything but crowd work unless they love you. Again, you do your broadcast show with Chad Dukes, who has, like, 500 people that are coming to fucking love Chad Dukes.
Yeah, yeah, and anything like, he puts on, yeah.
He could legit do Chris's bullshit shtick and people will just be like bah, bah, bah,
that's true. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
They're there to love them. These are eight people.
They were there to judge you.
They're there like I'm listening to their conversations while so again I agree to set up this show in a basement. You wisely bail the fuck out. Pete is just like, I don't want to spend my Sunday getting fucked. So,
Pete bailed on that show?
Oh, Pete bailed. It's so hard.
Oh, but he's on the sticker.
He's on the sticker. That sticker's a fucking lie. That sticker should have the words when he wants to be underneath it. Fuck.
All right. So,
Chris actually says yes. Chris is down. He's down for the cause. And we get Jesse, who is friends with the guy that invited us to perform. Young Jesse, improv dude, been doing improv for a long time. Performs all the time. He's been on the show once or twice.
Yeah, he was super, super comfortable on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost annoying. And by almost, I mean it was annoying.
I mean, his impressions were kind of dominating that episode, but that's one of those examples of a bit where I'm like, look, I'm not getting to do an episode where I'm jawing all the time.
Yeah.
But that's a good impression. Like, that's going to get laughs.
Yeah, what was the impression you did at the end?
Fucking, like, stroked out Dick Clark.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I can tell that was like a bit that he's probably done plenty of times.
It's a character he does.
But yeah, it was a good bit.
So I'm like, fuck it. I don't have to be the star of everything. Like, I can tell this is something that other people will like. And I was liking it in the moment. Sometimes you just sit back and you're like, fuck it, it's his show right now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It happens.
Right.
That, contrast that with Chris just going, yeah, into a mic.
You said that you could hear the conversations while you guys were... Right, we're doing the show.
Yeah, so like, we set up just at a fucking, like, I don't want to say a school desk, like, where it actually has, like, a cage for your textbooks underneath it and shit. But, like, just imagine, I don't know, like, a dumb computer desk or something you would see in any house, just a fucking, like, 8-foot-long plank of wood.
Right, right.
We set up on top of that the entire time. Yeah, I'm facing, like, the crowd we're going to perform in front of. It's just... like 21-year-old nerdy guys who, like, nothing against them, but, like, I forgot how dumb you can be when you're that young. You know, like, you're obviously, like, talking about everything on God's green earth to sound witty in front of the two chicks who are there instead of just, like, trying to talk to them for a bit and be like, hey, I'm young, you're young, you want to fuck. You know, like, like, if you could go back. You know what
okay.
I mean? But
all right.
Just doing that sort of shit. Like, I'm pretty much looking into pictures of nerdy me at 21, not getting my prick worked.
Okay.
Being like, oh, look at you all making the same mistake.
So this is while you guys are on air? You're like, you can hear their conversations or?
Yeah. Well, okay. Once we start recording, they're there to be wowed.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's just say my humor is, as you so brilliantly put it.
You're hilarious, but yeah, they're not your key demo.
It's not going to roll with them so much. Yeah, and especially even people who love the show, I think it would be semi-hard doing... Ha, semi-hard. It would be somewhat difficult doing a show that keeps attention for 60 minutes. Like, they have to really know you all.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that's what Pete brings to the show. That's what John does on the show.
Right, right.
And then maybe, yeah. But it was just college kids not knowing what the fuck... the only thing I was doing that was getting a reaction was some sort of crowd work, if you want to call it that.
Right, yeah.
Because they're finally involved. They finally have some skin in the
game.
They
got some attention. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, I felt like you were kind of just trying to steer the ship and keep things going. And I guess Jesse was kind of, like you said, he was kind of this, I don't know if this is something you did on purpose or if he just kind of imposed his will on you, but he was sort of the star of that episode.
Oh, I mean, like, without Jesse, I can't even go into what a fucking horror that would have been. Like, that show was your every fear when you're doing stand-up and you're getting dick from the audience.
Oh,
you're getting dick. And instead of having to sweat through like 4 minutes, 55 more seconds of your shit, you've got another 45 minutes to just sit in that wet fart.
Oh. So Chris was giving you nothing that day.
No, Chris was actually participating.
Okay.
Like, kind of motherfucking me.
Yeah.
I mean, hard enough where after the fact, the five people that I did share that episode with, because it was such a disaster, I wouldn't put that up and be like, here, enjoy the Papa's Live experience. You know? Fuck it, I'd be playing the crickets the rest of my life. You know? So it was a mixed bag. Like, he would play along with some bits, then do his shtick other times.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would really quickly then like break eye contact with him and look at Jesse and be like, do something weird, you know? And
save us.
Yeah. And he carried that shit on his back and we got out of there alive. In your honor, we went to Hooters afterward.
Oh, nice.
He seemed normal. He was talking about he's getting a place with his chick. You know what I mean?
Like, did you guys talk about his weird bits or?
Well, the takeaway from that performance was just how fucking
awful
cold and awful it was. Yeah.
Okay.
So I wasn't going to motherfuck him because...
You weren't going to blame him for the awful situation that you were put in.
It just wasn't a good situation. Yeah, nothing against the girl that put it together. Morgan Smalley, I think. I think she's Morgan Smalley 1 on Twitter, if you want to follow her. She's a sweet girl. It's just like, wasn't a good fit at all.
Right,
like, fucking like when they put the rap acts at Lollapalooza. You're like, come on, man. It's like Wu-Tang before Soundgarden. Suck my ass. Like, who are we kidding here?
All right, cool. So that's, that's not really then that doesn't wouldn't qualify as a strike.
No, that wasn't a strike. What the strike, the final strike, and this occurred a couple weeks ago, Chris is just at this point like openly motherfucking me and the show, like saying there's not enough effort going into it, we don't do enough production work, and
what
that's
do you mean
fun.
Like in person, like on
in person via text, you know, just really not happy with, let's be honest, the casual attitude of the show, which I'm a product of my own influences. I grew up listening to Stern and Don and Mike. Like, maybe they had other guys doing production work for him, especially Stern later with like Sal and Richard Christie and shit.
Yeah.
But the vibe I got was they walked in with an outline of like, these are things we can talk about. And then they riffed. And it was an improv thing where like, you know, maybe in the middle of it, Gary interrupts you. And then for the next hour and a half, you shit on Gary for his horrible teeth, you know, and then you call it a day.
Most,
like that's the energy I like. I'm not doing a scripted thing where I come in and we have it all done to a T. Like these are my friends. We catch up on life. Someone says something interesting. We run with that. Before you know it, an hour's passed. Yay.
Well, if that's what he's so worried about, why isn't he like kind of leading the charge with production and
that wouldn't make too much fucking sense.
Okay. All right. Cool.
That would compute.
All right. Okay. Yeah. If I'm complaining about no production, I'm offering up solutions.
Yeah. What did Gandhi say about if you don't see the change you want in the world, bitch to the guy who does the podcast you're on? I think that was his that's what I see on the College Kids t-shirt.
So he's getting mad at you guys for not taking it seriously.
Yeah. So Pete, producer Pete,
again, who I think does a lot of like extra work like on the side.
He does.
I don't know your guys' day to day, but I think that he's definitely taking it from one level to
a
different level.
Pete's burned out a little bit. Like, you know, I maybe didn't get the results he wanted, and I think Pete's like
moving on.
I might want to act more than he'll still do the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he still brings it. He's still pretty helpful,
you know,
like when it comes to all these things.
Like the video component, I think that's something that he brought.
He's big on videos.
Yeah.
Pete's a handsome guy. I have a good voice. Pete
no, I mean
nice.
The simulcast or whatever. The fact that
he was very big on making sure that would happen.
I think that's a cool little component to bring to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I wish the video didn't look like it's 2002 and you're jerking off from your college dorm to your girlfriend at home on the Logitech 8 pixel.
Yeah.
But you take what you got.
Right, yeah. All right, so Chris is bitching and
Pete, God bless him, does the producerly thing, that's a word, and he goes through the entire fucking abortion that was the live performance.
Yeah.
And cuts highlights from it.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to go through this. We've got an entire show. For once, there's an actual abundance of prep where we are going to analyze every embarrassing clip. I'm going to pause it. Hopefully, jocularity ensues. You know, fucking those two shit on me. I shit on Chris.
Yeah.
We all shit on the experience. Again, it's not that hard to fill an hour.
Right.
Hour's done. Chris seems fine with it. Chris is talkative. Chris is normal for Chris. The mics go live. Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're going to play this clip. No reaction. Clip's over. What did you think, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, God.
At this point, I'm just like, well, that motherfucker ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And Pete, God bless him, who, I don't know if he's got the beer guts going or he's just ballsier than me. Probably a mix of the two.
Yeah.
Pete just loses his shit on Chris.
That was over Chris calling him out on mispronouncing something or...
Here's what happens.
I think he stuttered or something. And
Pete will spoon letters and shit here and there. He likes to think it's a speech impediment. I think it's 0.2 blood alcohol level.
Yeah, I don't think he has a speech impediment at all.
I think he gets stressed, which causes him occasionally to spoon a letter here or there. But to act like he's fuck stuttering.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Right.
But at one point, I think Chris might have called him out for that or something like that.
I think he said, like, play the tape or something. He, like,
replaced
one word for another.
And, yes. And
Chris, like, repeated it.
Yes.
And that was what set him off.
And Pete, I was like, fuck you. I say these things occasionally. And then just starts going for gold, where he's like, you come on this fucking show and you behave like an asshole. Like, literally, what the fuck is wrong with you? And Chris is kind of doing his... could fight back. Could make this something interesting.
Yeah.
Instead, just taking it like a fucking training dummy.
I think what... He was offering up very apathetic apologies. He was like, sorry. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
Didn't mean to do that.
Exactly. Like, it was kind of like... this zero emotional character is a bit.
Right.
It's just a parasite. It sucks all the good out of the room.
I think that was about, what, 25, 30 minutes in?
Yes. We blew that up 30 minutes.
I can't believe you guys did that for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. We endured that.
You tried.
I tried my damnedest. And the mics go off, and he has the balls.
Get to that, there is something that I noticed at the end of that episode, and not many people heard it because you didn't put it up, but
I will.
I think it's a great listen.
There'll be little addendums to this episode where it's going to be the audio from that shit basement thing.
Oh, nice.
I'll put up the shit Brian thing, and put up the shit show that we scrapped 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I definitely want to hear the shit Brian thing. But I do remember at the tail end of that episode, he was doing that bit for like 28 minutes, and then you said, all right, we're going to play this clip, and then once we play it, we're done. We're done. And then that was when he turned into Chris again. That was when he was like, wait, what? Are you serious? Why are we going to end the show? And then you had already, like, reached your boiling point.
I'm done.
You were like, no.
I'm fucking done.
And he was like, he sort of came back.
Yeah, again, like the Tinkerbell shtick.
Yeah.
Suddenly, as he likes to say, John's taking his toys away.
Yeah, exactly.
As he likes to put it.
So then you ended the episode.
I ended the episode. He tries to leave in a huff and is just like, well, you know what? I was going to act normal for the second half of the episode, but whatever. Oh, like, completely cognizant of what he's doing.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have been a piece of shit for the second half.
Right, right.
Like, fuck you, Mr. Bait and Switch. How's that? Yeah. And then the best thing is, he leaves, tries to do this dramatic exit, and then 3 minutes later has to come back for his iPhone charger.
Oh, no.
I fucking had tears in my eyes at that. I couldn't show that I was laughing
worst.
At that. But like,
you should have just left it there.
No, God, at that point, is $5 worth your pride? Come on. I could just get one at the 7-Eleven, dude.
So funny.
So great. So goddamn great. Oh, fucking God. Funniest thing he did all episode.
How much time?
It's like 11:30. We've done hour 15 already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Time flies when I get more than Oathman.
So he left and you guys...
He left. And since
that
then...
That was 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
He, I think, tried to do like a fake Twitter beef thing with me where we're kind of going back and forth where he's saying genuinely insulting things about me and I have to kind of just be like, yes, this is a shtick. And be very kid glovey back.
Uh-huh.
And to catch you. Oh, Pete, again, bigger man than me, was in his area, invites him out to the bar that we used to hit all the time, the LA Coke and Snort Suck and Fuck.
Yeah.
And he comes out, is just to Pete's face, unrepentant as fuck about anything.
Just super, what, angry or?
Just acting like, oh, this is, we need to work all this out on air.
Well, I agree with, you don't agree with that? I agree with that.
If I fucking knew what Chris I'd get on air,
I'd
agree with it. I would agree under the terms that it's you, me, and Pete and Chris.
Mediating?
Because, no, just in case that fucking piece of garbage shuts down. And just immediately thinks he can be one of four tires just blowing out on me.
You know, you sound crazy like saying that, but it's totally reasonable that you would fear for that.
That because, would just be his ultimate work.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be it.
You don't
want to
fall victim
final
to.
Time.
Yeah, I think it would be good for you guys to air it out on or talk about it on air, but I think it's weird that you haven't had any communications since that last episode, because if it's just a bit that he's doing, then not talking to you for 3-4 weeks afterwards is really selling the bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a total method actor at this point.
And the only communication you guys have had are those angry tweets, right?
Exactly. Where I would come back to like 18 at mentions that for one time wasn't from Nate Gonzalez. And God bless you, Nate. I love you. And yeah, I would just see that Chris had been tweeting about the show and tweeting how he wasn't on the show or anything anymore. And it's, I mean, I hadn't come to any decisions of that nature at that point, but looking back, it's, you know, what, a fucking fool me once, shame on you. Fool me five times, you're a fucking retard. Oh. You know, like.
So what do you think you're going to do? Are you done with it?
I'm done with the bit, man.
You're done with the bit being Chris Lingbach?
If he's ever back on, like I said, it's with all of you there. So in case the one jet engine decides to blow up on me right after takeoff, I've still got three to get me home.
Well, I saw that he tweeted that night. He said something like something
he was
dramatic.
Trying to do a work where he was tweeting to everyone, hey, sorry to the Papa's Basement listeners, I really had fun on the show, John's an asshole, more or less, that's why I'm not on.
I've dealt with, I'd consider myself an expert in Chris Lingbach bits.
Yeah, you're the fucking horse whisperer.
I love him. I think that sometimes he can get very carried away with his bits, almost to a point where it's like he'll be on the Junkies sometimes, the Sports mm-hmm. Junkies, and EB, like the big Justin Timberlake of the Junkies, one of his lines about Blue Shorts that he says all the time is that his bits are for an audience of one.
So goddamn.
So like it's a common like belief or a common theme.
Holy shit. Okay, that's
shorts,
exactly. Yes.
Is that he doesn't care if nobody else is in on the bit. Even if he knows that he's the only one laughing at it, like that's enough for him sometimes.
Which is fine when you're dealing with the motherfucking Junkies who have a built-in listenership, and if some weird kid wants to come on and do a weird 10 minutes,
yeah,
they can then clown on it. I don't know, that fucking luxury.
Right, right, yeah. I'm just trying to explain his mind. Or
I got, yeah, okay.
How I perceive his mindset and
shitty,
his approach to things like this.
He can do even confrontational radio well, like yeah, where he's in the same universe
right
as you. Like, he sent me a clip where he was on, again, mentioning shows from our alma mater. Is that the term?
Sure,
106.7.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Fan.
The Fan.
Yeah, not JFK. I'll call it by its slave name, The Fan. And he goes on the Grant and Danny show.
Right.
And,
Grant and Danny.
Yeah. And just, so Danny, yeah, one half of the show, former stand-up comedian, had been doing comedy at the same time as this guy, Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
Rory seems to have broken through to a new tier of fame, appeared in...
I saw him on Wrecked the other day.
Was that... Yeah. He, yeah, I think, was... What is Wrecked?
It's like... it's on Fox. It's like a comedic Lost.
Okay.
It's really funny, actually.
So what? Is it like a scripted...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. They're like stranded on an island or whatever.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Oh, shit. I'll maybe Hulu that. I don't fucking
It's
know.
Pretty funny. I don't usually watch those network shows, but this one's pretty
Yeah, I'll
pretty
check
good.
It out when I'm busy not doing my fucking show. Chris raped me. So Rory was in, I think it's called The House. It was a recent movie. It tanked, but still, a movie with Will Ferrell and what's-her-tits, Amy Poehler.
Yeah, a movie in theaters.
Yes, a movie in theaters, yeah, which I can safely say no one from The fucking Fan has done. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Right.
And he came on and very boldly was like, there is no way in hell, Danny, you would not switch places
right
with Rory. And it was great because Danny had to fucking like juggle and be like, what are you talking about? I've got a great gig. Even
I know.
Though, you know, like, fuck it, Danny. Be real. You're
yeah,
talking movie fame. You're talking network TV fame.
Versus terrestrial sports radio fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love you. And you've done well. You've done better than a lot of us. But fucking be real about
yeah,
that. For
seriously.
God's sake.
Yeah.
That's like Will Ferrell having a dude who was in improv with him, and that guy is like in a fucking lobster costume on weekends, right, giving out coupons. Yeah. And Lobsty is like, well, it worked out for both of us. Yeah. No, fuck you. You'd be Will Ferrell.
I love Shorts. I love what he was saying in that segment because it was so true. But they were all acting like it was so alien and foreign.
Oh, God, yeah. They're fucking both acting like yogis.
Yeah.
They're just like, what do you mean wanting fame and success? Yeah. Like, I'm so happy where I am in this moment. Namaste. It was such bullshit.
Yeah.
And that was great. Like, he lingered in that, and I laughed. But you can't, it's a loose cannon, man. Yeah.
Hot and cold. He is, he's great sometimes.
Yeah.
It's you get to a point where you don't want to roll the dice anymore because it doesn't really seem worth it when you have wasted, what, 4 or 5 nights of your life.
I'm down multiple episodes because of this guy, and I feel like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Every time I don't have a show to do. I was here today. You saw me. I fucking turned down, I don't know how much money, at least $80 right now, just to record with you.
Yeah.
Just to put out a fucking show. I mean, because that's what this means to me.
It's a casual thing, but it's something that you take seriously. I mean, you've been doing it for 10 years straight, you know? 540 episodes is nothing to sneeze at, dude. That's a lot of hours that you put into this.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get more serious about it because the other week when we were in together, I was a little nihilistic about it. And I was like, yeah, this probably isn't going anywhere. And like, I know that kind of that ricked you a bit. And
me?
A touch where no, you were
just like, I felt bad when you said that.
Oh, well, that's what
I was like,
I
dude,
wanted.
Don't
I
have
wanted
that
pity.
Attitude.
I wanted fucking pity.
I think
Thank you.
I think Shorts was more angry when you said
that. Shorts was like, my God, if you're not going to take this seriously, whatever. And I'm like, I take it seriously. It's a fucking podcast that I haven't done promotions for yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would love to know how to promote it because I have money to throw behind that.
Yeah.
If someone can give me a blueprint.
Right.
But like, I also know what it is in the moment.
Well, so you are not going to reach out to him. You're not going
to. No. Oh, this show is my reach out.
Okay.
Big middle fingered reach out.
The other thing about Shorts is that I've never met anybody who has as hard of a time admitting they're wrong about something as Chris does. Like that. So that's why I feel like even if he has a hint of guilt about the way he handled himself last time, he's not the type of person to reach out to you and be like, yo, dude, you're right. I was a retard. Cause I mean, I don't think it's in his makeup. So
yeah,
that's kind of a frustrating thing dealing with him. But I don't know, maybe this will be different.
Well, that doesn't line up well with my faults because I am really quick to like just cut people.
Really?
Yeah. I think it happened when my old man keyhauled at 20.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, like my dad's gone forever. You know, and after that it's like, I have a friend who's acting the fool. Like
peace.
Yeah. Like did I mention my dad's dead forever?
Right,
like
is that why you have the rotating door of co-hosts on Impostor's
Theater? Maybe I'm just a piece of shit. Maybe Shorts is right about everything. What the fuck do I know?
So are you beefing with Pete too, or
no? I think Pete is just gradually pulling away to do his own thing.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting a bunch of pictures of him.
He was acting
doing
with Jesse
commercials
the other week. Yeah,
yeah.
No, I have no beef with Pete. I genuinely like Pete a lot. He's a dear friend.
You're just sad about losing him.
Yeah, if he's eventually gonna go and act and shit, and that's where he believes us, and he looks good on stage. You know what I mean? Like,
not
to sound like the fairiest fairy to ever fairy, but like, when we did the stand up thing, and he performed first, I was like, I'm not saying any of us are stand up geniuses, but motherfucker looks good on a stage. You know, he's like
what
running around and he's animated and shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, he should be doing like a one man show like John Leguizamo style, except not about being Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. He had way more energy than either you or I.
Oh, yeah. He's perky.
I was just there trying to silently mumble through my set without pissing myself.
Got a lot of laughs, though.
But okay. Well, I'm bummed out that, I mean, I did love him on your show. I don't know if that's just because I like him or because you guys had a nice little chemistry
still
going.
Welcome if it's. And I like Tom personally. I can't even have him with Tom because they could form their own little faction on air. This is how crazy this shit has gotten.
No, you're right.
What I'm saying? Where like the entire hours before the show, he's doing a work with Tom where he's like, we're just going to motherfuck the shit out of this.
Yeah, yeah. You want it to be a fair and open debate or conversation.
Yeah, like Anthony Cumia once about race.
All right.
Like, if it's you, me, Pete, and Chris, I'm fine with that. I'm not enacting some sort of lifetime ban.
Well, let me see. Let me see the last time I spoke with him about this. Let's see what the texts say.
I mean, Pete was saying he was motherfucking me in their little meeting to the point where he was like, I'm not going to say everything. Like, it would just get you mad. I was like,
get me mad?
No, get me
mad. Oh, you mad?
Yeah.
Oh, so, like, he didn't give you any details?
I mean, other than Chris was fucking unrepentant and pretty much blaming me for everything.
I
much
told
like
Shorts.
People have done with the Jews throughout history.
I told Shorts via text that I was on your guys' side.
Well, I appreciate that.
Because I was like, dude, I would have gone crazy on you if I was in the studio with you.
But, if we had production, I would play the Heart song right now.
I would love to hear his
rebuttal to this.
Yeah, his retort or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we were talking.
Maybe I'll try to facilitate that.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
It's so weird. Like, you don't just have that awkward of a blow up and never speak. Well, you do if you're like girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I'm admitting, I'm handling this in a bitchy way in a lot of ways. But, like, Chris, we would do two things together. He would drink heavily. Mm-hmm. Well, I would, and I've shied away from booze a lot lately. Like, I'm really trying to drop some pounds and, like, not fucking drink all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've lost that with a lot of my friends.
Right.
What I had left was recording with them and trying to do creative shit. And it's like, if you're going to actively undermine me, why? I'm already undermining myself. I already want to just sit and eat pizza. I already want to, like, look at porn all day or play video games and not do this shit.
Yeah.
Like, why would I show up and then have someone who makes it unfun?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. It's, you start, like, losing. Well, you probably lost a lot of faith in him because you're like, dude, I don't know.
I cannot trust him.
Right.
I cannot trust him. That's not me exaggerating. This is a guy who, to my face, like, I cannot articulate in a plainer method how much I fucking hate him clamming up on air. It is the worst fucking bit. If he thinks it's a great bit, it's fucking wrong.
You gotta release that episode so people can.
I'll put them
themselves.
All out. I'll put out the entire compendium.
I don't know if it's a good idea to put on your
shit.
iTunes feed.
No, but I'm gonna do it in a way where they don't shit up my feed.
Okay.
Because I think it only will pluck the first MP3 in each post. So I can then put three underneath that and then be like, you know, here's fucking Exhibit A, Your Honor.
Yeah. Yeah, let people hear it for themselves so they know that. Because, I mean, when you say, like, I can't try, it sounds like you're kind of being over the top, but I mean, 30 minutes of dealing with that.
He's a dude who did improv with us. That's the most mind-boggling thing.
Yeah, he should
if
know better.
This was a guy who hadn't had this training and didn't understand building a scene.
Yeah.
And like what a functioning character was. That would be one thing.
Right.
If, like, again, to bring up Andy Kaufman, he thought you could wander in the middle of something, motherfuck it to pieces, and then call it a brilliant day.
Yeah.
That'd be one thing. But he's had a background in this.
He knows better, yeah.
He knows so much better.
But he's just so committed to the bit in his mind that he...
I guess so.
Well, that's the thing, that he knows, like, he knows what makes entertaining radio or podcasts or whatever, but he also knows in his mind that whatever bit he's decided on is more important than anything else.
I guess.
Like, when we did the one-off of the CNO show, the reunion episode,
yes,
here in my basement, like, a year ago, he was like, hey, Othello, let's do a bit where, like, we pretend like we just came back from break, like, as if we'd just done the show, you know, 7 years ago, and we're just coming back from a bathroom break. And so I'm like, all right, cool. And so we opened up the show with, like, Rex Grossman shtick or whatever. And it got to a point where it was like we had said everything we could say.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, let's try to do the real show now. And he kept trying to push that bit. And I repeatedly had to be like, all right, I don't know how long we're going to do this. Awkward bit, blah, blah, blah. So sometimes you just got to, like, pull him out of this, like, bit wormhole that he's in.
Yeah.
But, he knows better in his heart of hearts.
All right.
We'll see. I'll try to facilitate it. It'll be interesting to hear you guys kind of go back and forth. And I'll be honest with him. I hope Pete is, too.
Oh, I don't think Pete will hold back. Pete's certainly, he likes to present Pete as my bitch boy. Which,
does he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I heard him say something like
Pete
that.
Pete is Papa's puppet, according to him.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I can barely get Pete out for a goddamn thing, but sure, I can call.
Well, thanks for coming to my... I hate to end this show, so...
No, you need to do your vacation, man. Thank you for fucking having me over. Thank your chica for not beheading me.
I hope this was therapeutic for you. I hope got some of
very
it
cathartic,
out.
Yeah.
Is it... Is it going to... Yeah, you're going to put it up on iTunes and all that stuff.
Oh, this bitch is going up.
Are you going to tag Chris Lingbach in this? Or do you want me to send it to him?
Yeah, I guess I'll send it to him. Yeah. I'm just going to present the episode titled as, like, Where I've Been for 3 Weeks.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not going to do something inflammatory like that bald bitch. Or, you know, like...
I'd actually... Yeah, I got a hand raised for bridges. That title.
That bald bitch.
Well, I would like to
horseshoe haired fuck.
I don't want to promise, but I will say that I'll do everything in my power to get the next episode to be all of us in studio.
That'd be nice.
Kind of figuring this whole thing out.
Hey man, I'd be down for it. Enjoy your Papa Giorgio style 1 day beach vacation.
Yeah, right. Can't wait. Thanks for coming out here, man.
It sucks. All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, brother.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show?
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.